This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. When Tom Barton started work as a reporter in Savannah, the newsroom was filled with cigarette smoke and electric typewriters. Jimmy Carter was president, and a dozen eggs cost 48 cents. 39 years later, the longtime opinion page editor is retiring, and his last day with the Savannah Morning News is this week. Congratulations, Tom, first of all.
Thank you, Celeste.
You're headed. I mean, the first question everyone has to be asking you is, what do you plan to do now, right?
Well, a buddy of mine down here, Tony Field, who said if I mentioned his name on the radio, he'd give me $20, told me.
You just made $20, Tom Barton.
I know. He said, here's what you do when you retire. You have a nice two or three Bloody Marys at breakfast, then you go home, you plan for a nice long lunch, you eat a lot of food at lunch, then go home and take a nap. Then you get up about 4:30 and look for a good early bird special dinner.
Well, after three Bloody Marys, I think I would be ready for a nap. But let me go back to when you first started in Savannah. When you took the job, how long did you plan to stay?
Only 2 or 3 years. Well, originally just 2 or 3 weeks. I needed to make some money to make a deposit for my downtown apartment. I needed $175, and I needed to make
And that was going to take you 3 weeks to earn.
Yes. I started out at $185 a week. I was offered a job at $175 a week at a paper in Anderson, South Carolina. But I'm a University of Georgia graduate, and I know how to add and subtract. I know my numbers.
So you figured out that 185 was more than 175.
Absolutely.
Very smart. Yeah. So when did you move over from being a reporter to being the op-ed page editor?
About 15 years ago.
And tell me about that transition, because I'm not sure that maybe people outside of journalism don't realize what a big difference that is when you go from being a reporter who's concerned about the appearance of objectivity to someone who's working in op-eds and is allowed to express their opinion.
Yes, huge. I can't say how big it is. It's a whole new different way of thinking. Reporters, like you said, they have to be objective. But we know privately reporters do have opinions, but they're trained. The professional ones are trained to keep opinions out of their reporting. But when you're an opinion writer, you have to have opinions. Well, you don't have to, but the good opinion writers have opinions. And you have to write persuasively. And to do a good job at that, you have to have the command of the facts. You just can't, I mean, all opinions are not created equally. But as a reporter, you're trained to keep your own personal feelings out of a story. Opinion writers, when you're arguing a certain point of view, you have to have the command of the facts to write persuasively. And I looked at it as kind of a lawyer arguing before a jury, like his closing arguments. You have to have all your facts in the law, and you put the best, I hate to use the word spin, but you're trying to persuade people to your point of view, so you have to have good command of the facts and be able to write persuasively, and that's hard to do. I mean, reporters, they've got a very difficult job, too, and in some ways, reporting is the bread and butter of this business. I mean, nowadays, everybody has opinions, and you can go on the internet and get any opinion you want. But as we know, not all opinions are, worth reading because of either the work or lack of work that was put into arriving at those opinions. But it was hard to move from reporting to opinion writing.
Yeah, it's a complete culture change almost. I wanted to ask you about some changes in the news business that have hit your paper. The Savannah Morning News was sold to Gatehouse Media last year. At the time we spoke to Carolyn Carlson, she's an associate professor of communications at Kennesaw State, and we asked her about what's driving all of the newspaper consolidations around the country.
The Morris Papers were the last family-owned newspaper chain in Georgia still in existence. All the rest of the family-owned newspapers, at least the dailies, had been sold already to big chains. It seems like the only way to survive is as a big chain where you have economies of scale that keep things affordable.
I wonder what your take is on this, having been in the business spanning from these smaller owned papers to now. She's saying that you kind of have to have a large conglomeration in order to keep a paper alive. How do you feel about that?
Well, I understand it completely financially, but part of me is sad because I like the family-owned papers. They're close to their community, and once you have a corporate headquarters 1,000 miles away, I think you lose a certain amount of immediacy with your community. It's all about covering your community. And I think family papers, family-owned papers, by and large, do a pretty good job at that, because the owners of the paper, you run into them at the grocery store, at church, or at your kid's Little League baseball games, and you can talk to them and tell them what you think about their newspaper. It's hard to do that with a
corporate. Do people find you in the grocery store and tell you what they think about your last column?
Absolutely. I'll go to the Publix grocery store, and I go through the checkout line. The guy bagging my groceries will look at me kind of sideways, like I've got two heads. And he goes, "Aren't you that guy that works at the paper?" And I'll kind of look back at him kind of the same way, like, "Well, why do you want to know that for?"
Do you ever deny it?
No.
So what have been the biggest stories, do you think? What kind of news town is Savannah?
Oh, Savannah has always been a great news city. I started out as a police reporter, and I hate to say it, but we've always had crime issues down here that we can't seem to get rid of. But unfortunately, some of the big stories I remember involve tragedies and accidents, like the sugar refinery explosion down here in 2008 that killed 13 people. That one still sticks out in my mind as the most recent big story, because it involved a certain amount of corporate negligence. They did not keep that plant up to snuff, so to speak, with the sugar dust, and it exploded one horrible night. And I happened to be that same night at a library gala trying to raise money for the public libraries, and we heard that the plant had blown up. And I was at the gala with some of my TV friends, and the TV guy, of course, he had to leave right away, and he was supposed to be the auctioneer at this gala, so they volunteered me to take his place.
Do you want to give us a sample? Or
No, I don't think I raised a lot of money that night, unfortunately. But I later went out there, and it looked like somebody had dropped an atomic bomb on that sugar refiner. It was just bloody awful. And all those poor people that were trapped inside there with the burns and the people that were killed. I mean, that was a tragedy. But I remember, I say, back on the police beat, you know, you remember all the horrible murders. But the hardest part, to my mind, was talking to the families of victims. And I never got over that. That kind of tears at your soul after a while. And I only lasted 2 years as a police reporter, because you begin to get hardened. And I think once you start losing your humanity, it's time to move on to something else. So I went from covering the criminals and the cops to a higher class of criminals, politicians.
So there are people now, Tom, who have wondered if newspapers should get rid of their opinion pages, because there's confusion among readers who read opinions on the opinion page and think that means a paper is biased. In the 2 minutes that we have left, what do you think about this debate?
I think opinion writing is what separates newspapers from other news organizations, because we have people that we're trained to do this every day, to look at our communities and hopefully come up with opinions of how we can improve our community or improve our state. And I understand why people think that, but we have, at the newspaper where I work at, we've always had a wall between the newsroom and the opinion page people. It's like church and state, we're separate. I don't tell the newsroom what to put on the front page, and they don't tell me who to endorse for mayor or governor. And I think the problem in Georgia and most communities nowadays is apathy. People are tuned out to politics, and I can understand that, because this politics, and that's another thing that's changed. Politics statewide and nationwide and in communities have gotten so polarized that people are just sickened by all this stuff. And I even get headaches thinking about, you know, what happened in Washington lately, what's going on in Georgia, or even down at City Hall here in Savannah. And it's easy to tune out to that, but you can't do that, because our democracy rests on an informed electorate. And I don't want to make this a civics lesson, but I think newspapers have a vital role in their community to engage the public in political issues and opinions. And I know some people, especially if you disagree with them, they'll call you up and say, "Why are you telling me who to vote?"
Or they'll find you in Publix, right?
Well, yeah.
That is Tom Barton. He's the outgoing opinion page editor for the Savannah Morning News. Tom, congratulations and thank you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.